Go for it.
Okay. Thanks to Eric's research, which he enlightened us about, we learned that muscles without some constant supply of oxygen don't work. So that means that zombies have to have some form of circulatory system. Which I was willing to assume that they didn't. Because if you can decapitate a zombie and that successfully kills it, then that implies that they have a blood supply. But if you can kill them by destroying their brain, that has nothing to do with the blood supply. So, the consideration then there is, realistically, you can decapitate a zombie, but if they have a circulation system, you can realistically put them out of commission by destroying the heart. So you don't have to worry about headshots, which is a lot...
harder?
Yeah.
You won't cover that.
Even under certain circumstances, decapitation is an easier consideration than being able to destroy the brain. So, and the fact that they have a circulatory system gives us a lot of other practical considerations, like that means they can bleed, and if we're establishing that, in a realistic sense, whatever turns them into a zombie is going to be a contagion, then that makes them a lot more dangerous. They won't be able to just pass on the zombie whatever virus by biting you, but by bleeding on you or coughing on you or what have you.
Well, I don't think it means that it has to be in the blood system, just that they have to have blood in order to continue operating. I think they're mutually exclusive.
They don't have to be mutually exclusive. Like,
Yeah,
because as we got from the sex lecture, things that are contagious through bodily fluids in general, right?
Well, for STDs, but not all STDs line up with all fluids, so it could be...
Right.
If they can infect you by biting you, that means it's in their saliva.
Right, which means
so
I would posit that it's in their blood as well.
In their blood.
Yeah. Either way, as a practical consideration, until we have more information, that makes them more dangerous. You know, if you shoot one and wound it without putting it down and it is bleeding, then that's something that you have to keep in mind as a practical consideration when actually fighting zombies. And that's not something that
so
is...
Joshua shoots a bow.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, and, you know, be more than 2 feet away.
Yeah.
Don't get splattered.
Close your eyes and turn your face. Because that's not something that's addressed in movies rarely at all, is, you know, you kill a zombie and blood goes everywhere and no one seems to worry too much about it.
I think
we're
helping. That's a kind of face color.
Another thing that Eric brought up is... the time that the contagion would take to incubate is in movies the exaggerated experience is that you get infected and you begin to turn almost immediately. Realistically speaking, based on what we know of viruses, something like HIV can hang around for years and years before you actually see symptoms. Herpes can operate the same way. So while the true terror of a zombie apocalypse would be the virulent thing where you bite somebody, they turn, they bite somebody, and the whole world is screwed within a week, a more practical aspect would be likely that it would take 6 months to spread slowly, and people would start seeing symptoms and start panicking more gradually, like we've seen with H1N1.
That would be worse. If it,
in some ways,
if it has a longer incubation, you'd be spreading it more.
Right.
But nobody would actually know.
If it's infectious during the incubation period.
Right.
I mean, when the bubonic plague hit New York.
Right. If we posit that it's a virus, which seems to be
the assumption,
then viruses are contagious during the incubation period. Which means everyone's passing it on without knowledge, which means once it finally hits, it hits all at once and no one knows what's going on until after people start turning. Another consideration is whether people will actually be dead. As I mentioned earlier with rabies, you know, we have modern medical explanations for potential ideas about things like vampirism and werewolves from several hundred years ago, and we have potential explanations for things with zombies the same way. People may be sick, and we may need to kill them because they are a threat and contagious and what have you, but that doesn't necessarily actually make them dead. If they lose superior brain function, then clearly they're not functioning like a human. but there's less of a mystical aspect to it or a superstitious aspect to it if we don't consider them to actually be a walking corpse, but rather just someone who's sick. And my comparison earlier was with rabies, but if we posit that it's a virus, then the assumption will be that it will be something like a roided up version of Ebola or the hantavirus or even something like rabies or bubonic plague that turns people over a period of time into drooling snappy maniacs. And so the important consideration with that is we've been trained to assume the zombies are stupid. And if it's someone who's sick, they're going to have a lot more function than we're used to assuming the zombies have. I watched a movie just the other day where a couple of zombies like tore a dude in half, and I turned to my friend and I was like, if that was real, that doesn't seem like that would be possible. Like, we're used to the idea of zombies somehow, even though they're falling apart and rotting, being stronger than we are, and that's just not something that we would have a plausible explanation for. If we posit something like rabies, that would make them angry and aggressive, like you've seen 28 Days Later, and not faster, but, you know, willing to punish themselves for whatever their goal is. They'd have less self-consciousness and self-consideration, but that wouldn't make them bigger or stronger or more powerful than humans.
Whoever has the virus causes adrenaline.
Right.
A constant adrenaline rush. Then.
Well, I mean, the practical consideration.
We go with stronger, but not necessarily.
Sure.
Also, being less inhibited and
exactly.
Not worrying about your own safety.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, only so much stronger. One.
Yeah.
And two, if that's the case, then that has to peter out after a period of time. Like, you only have so much adrenaline. So either they would run themselves to death, which, if we think of something like rabies, is a reasonable consideration. It's possible that all their safety mechanisms, their self-preservation shuts off and they just go into the drop. Or they'd have to have a phase where they turn into the old-fashioned shambling zombie mm-hmm. because they don't have any juice left.
Yep.
Like a raver after a weekend. I've seen a couple days, man. But if they're not dead, and if they have simply reverted to a more primitive state, then, like I spoke about earlier, we have to consider them a lot more of a threat. You know, if it's brainless, undead interaction, then you put a fence in front of them, and unless they have a brainwave and stand on top of each other, or pile up corpses, that will stop them. And eventually, you would imagine, they would get distracted. Something that I see in movies that, now that I've been thinking about, kind of bothers me, is you would imagine if you locked a door, eventually they'd see something else interesting and walk away, as opposed to call over another 100 people and just stand there pounding until something happens.
But if they can, like, sense you.
Right,
somehow,
but
then they would want to get to you.
And with a scientific explanation of whatever their condition is, there's only so much more sensitive they can be with the human senses developed as the way that they have. Conditions like porphyria that have explained things like aspects of vampirism and werewolves, people have over-amplified senses. They are overly sensitive to light, or they can smell things more. But there's only a certain degree that we can accept that, because human senses just simply aren't as powerful as those of other animals.
But still, you should try to keep quiet.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying, if you put a door between you and them, the odds are much greater that they're going to wander off and do something else than keep trying to find you. Which is not what we're used to seeing in the public expression of zombies. They're ridiculously single-minded, which isn't realistic.
Well, you've got to figure out, you know, what they're attracted to.
Right.
So
even humans know when another human is alive or it's dead, and so it wouldn't be distracted by dead bodies.
No,
as a human, I'm gonna probably avoid dead bodies if I wanted to go for a live body.
Well, maybe all zombies are compulsive, and once they find the one thing that they want to concentrate on, they will concentrate on that until they achieve it.
OCD.
Yeah, I was about to say something like an overamped disease, especially something like rabies, would actually be a reasonable explanation for that.
Mm-hmm.
The other another thing to keep in mind is we're trained to think that they only want to eat people, and that's not particularly realistic. In some zombie movies, you see them tearing apart animals and what have you, but I think in a realistic sense, the idea is more that they're going to be unendingly hungry and aggressive, not necessarily interested in eating humans in particular or eating human brains in particular.
They don't digest the disease.
Their nose covered in
World War Z.
Yeah.
Where they describe zombies that are so bloated.
They gorge. Yeah.
They have a system to excrete.
If.
That
posits that they're dead, and if we're talking about someone who is acting like a zombie but is in fact still alive, they'd be filthy and gross, but they'd still be digesting.
If they're dead, it's yes. Shoving things in their mouth.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, the flesh inside them would start decomposing.
Right. That's another thing. When you talk about the practicality of it, if scientifically they actually are dead, then it really is just a waiting game. Because at some point, they won't be able to support themselves anymore. They will fall apart and won't be able to continue chasing you. But that seems...
Unless they were preserved in ice. If they were Canadian zombies, they'd be preserved over the winter. And then when spring comes,
you can make cases. I mean, the people who got infected later will take later to full recovery. Like, you won't be able to say, I'll wait a month and they'll all be gone. But you can say, I can wait a certain period of time and the streets will be much safer than they were when the outbreak started. But what the main thing I was going to say is that if they are simply raging, aggressive people as opposed to the dead, then you can expect that they will be able to do things like work basic tools, open doorknobs, remember to walk upstairs, and maybe even cooperate to be able to climb up fences and what have you. And if you give them the OCD aspect, then that actually makes them much more dangerous than the shambling perception that we generally have of zombies. And so that gives a lot more food for thought in where and how you decide to find shelter. Another thing for World War Z that was terrifying was people got on boats to get away from them, and the zombies friggin' walked under the water because they didn't have to breathe and just swam up to the boats, and yeah, it was kind of terrifying. Because you'd assume you'd be safe. You're like, haha, I'm on my yacht. Here they come. And so if we assume the not dead or diseased aspect, then that's even more a realistic assumption.
Yeah.
Especially if they're jacked up on adrenaline, you know, you would have to be on it. I told my friend I'd find an oil platform, like just in the actual middle of the ocean, you know. If you could find a Costco on an oil platform, you'd be...
Find the shipping vessel you want to come by.
I think a Zeppelin is the perfect vehicle during the zombie apocalypse.
Yes. A hot air balloon takes less fuel.
It's true. Yeah.
Carries less people, takes less fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. You go like the Jules Verne style airship with like a nice luxe like little cabin area for like four of your closest friends. So, I think that about covers most of the aspects I wanted to consider with applying some real medical science to the idea of a zombie. Is the most important thing is to consider that a lot of the expectations that we've been given in literature and film, if it's real, the odds are they won't be the reanimated dead. They'll be sick, weird, creepy people. And in that case, we have to consider them a different kind of threat.
Which is kind of the idea behind the Haitian clusters. They're people that have gotten sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, most of the myths started was from, give somebody pufferfish poison, which shuts down most of their nervous system,
right.
But does not kill them.
Yeah.
Bury them in the ground, and, 5 days later, when they wake up and dig themselves out, they're a raving lunatic.
Yeah. Because they had to dig themselves out.
Yeah. I mean, you would be too if you had to dig yourself out of the grave.
And so, yeah, there'd be nothing but aggression, and so, but you'd have some basic memories of how to do the things that you used to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bo. Yay! Does anybody want a chair? Everybody still okay?
Yeah.